was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody. This is Resurrection Republic with your host Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom LaCavara, who's still in jail in Oregon. We'll give out some numbers tonight to keep the phone blitz pressure on the perpetrators who are holding Tom and preventing him from getting to Nevada to cover the Clive and Bundy trial. And that's the long and short of why they're truly holding him. With us tonight, we're going to have Keith Jones from the heartland of Kansas for his take and his commentary. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. Thank you for listening. You can follow this show on resurrectherepublic.com. You can follow what I, Eric, do on courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. .org. Remember to donate if you're interested in this information. If you feel satisfied that you're getting your money's worth, kick in some money. Remember this: the advertisers on this station support the station. That money goes to keep the signal going, keep the call-in line up and running, keep the board open with Mike doing a fantastic job on the board, organizing everything and making sure everything gets done on schedule and scheduling the breaks and pushing all the buttons that need to be pushed. But each individual talk show host you hear on this network is on their own. We, meaning myself, Tom, all the rest of the crew, we don't get paid by the station. We rely on donations from the general public. So if you go to resurrecttherepublic.com or courtroomwatch.org, make sure you kick in a few bucks to keep this going, because it's activism. I think people get this picture that we're all sitting in a fancy studio somewhere with a hot secretary and a pot of hot coffee, but that's not the case. We're all struggling out here, and patriots right now are being blacklisted, so it's difficult to find work. They're being persecuted and driven out of many situations, including homes, businesses. I can run down the list. Look at Tom is locked up over all this, and this is really because of his political beliefs. It's not because there was any threat to public safety by Tom sitting in a hotel room in Oregon that happened to have a gun in it. Everybody should have a gun nearby. So anyway, if people feel that they value this type of programming and this type of information, I hate to use the word programming, that's what the enemy seems to have done for so many decades, and it seems to be why we're hearing a lot of garbage coming out of other radio talk show hosts' orifice. And I'll get into that later, because I've got a few things that need to be addressed, because it's not, I don't want to go after any other radio talk show host. That's not my objective. But when I hear lies, and when I hear things that are so absurd coming from people who are supposedly in the patriot community, I feel I have to address it. Our discernment has to be at its highest level right now. Our information has to be 100% complete. We can't fail to look behind that curtain and see the Vicar General and the judicial vicar and their boss, the archbishop, who are managing the court system, and I can prove it. I've made my case on this show before, and I'll do it again. So I put myself at great risk by bringing you all this information. If I told you, people wouldn't believe how much persecution goes on when you really start pushing the right buttons, and when you really start pulling back the curtain, when you really start showing the people and educating the people what really the power structure really is, down to your local level. And that's where the judicial vicar and the vicar generals all come in. So I encourage people to donate if you can kick in even a few dollars. It really helps keep this on the air. It's very difficult to do a show until midnight or 1 in the morning and then get up at 5 a.m. to go do a construction job. So it's ultimately it's going to be one or the other. And if people like shows like this, please contribute. Help the station by buying some New Manna food over at New Manna Republic. Get yourself some food storage. That supports the radio station. Support your individual talk show hosts by going to their web presence and donating personally. ResurrectTheRepublic.com, CourtroomWatch.org. So there's my funding plea. This show stands on Scripture, Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I will. Will you? Keith Jones from Kansas, are you with us, my friend?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Give us a few words from the heartland.
Well, not much here, but enjoying the weather while we got it. They're talking a major possibility of freezing rain here coming in Saturday and Sunday, so trying to get some stuff done before, so that's about it.
Yes, that can be the freezing rain can be a nightmare, but I'll still take it over the 2 degrees that we had up here in upstate New York over the last week or so. And so even though freezing rain's a mess, I think I'll take the warm over the cold any day, but that's a matter of personal opinion. So Keith is with us tonight, and if anyone out there in the listening audience would care to call in and contribute to the show, we welcome your calls. We really encourage them, and the number to call in is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Don't be bashful, everybody. Pick up the phone and call in. We'd like to hear what you have to say. I'm going to start off almost every show with this quick little paragraph here, and I read it last night, so bear with me again. This is from the Plutonium Files, and this is an illustration, in short, of how bad a government can go if we let it. And if we stop looking behind the curtain and just accepting, you know, superficial patriotism, this is what happens. In a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. Let me just repeat that in case it just flew in one ear and out the other. In a Massachusetts school, now this is in recent history, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. In an upstate New York hospital, that would be Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester that has an underground facility that I've now confirmed. In a New York hospital, Strong Memorial Hospital, an 18-year-old woman, believing she was being treated for a pituitary disorder, was injected with plutonium by Manhattan Project doctors at a Tennessee prenatal clinic. 829 pregnant women were served, quote, vitamin cocktails, which actually contained radioactive iron, and they were told it was part of their prenatal treatment. They weren't told the radioactive iron part, of course. That was kept secret by all the good doctors that Jeff Sessions doesn't seem to want to prosecute any of this stuff. He doesn't want to prosecute the people who spoon-fed radioactive isotopes to 73 disabled children. He doesn't want to address the underground facility underneath Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York, where to this day, I, Eric the Freedom Screamer, still get calls from people saying, oh my God, my girlfriend just got a letter from Strong Memorial Hospital saying she was a part of an experiment back in the 1950s and 60s, could she please come back in? Now, an experiment involving radiation poisoning without her knowledge and without her consent. Could you please come back in so we can do some follow-up testing and see how you held up to the radiation? Now, this is going on right now.
And I'm not hearing that. And what do I hear from Jeff Sessions? Yeah, we're good. We have a drug epidemic. Got to continue to fight that drug epidemic. Oh, right, by allowing the CIA to fly in more opium from Afghanistan in the Kandahar province. So that's okay. We're gonna fight a drug epidemic. I don't think people smoking pot and snorting cocaine is really the biggest problem. I think in a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children being spoon-fed radioactive isotopes is a serious problem. I think Strong Memorial Hospital asking for follow-up examinations on their radiation patients that they used as guinea pigs without their knowledge, I think that's a much more of a big drug epidemic, okay, from the drug pushers and pimps in the medical industrial establishment. I think that's a lot worse than keeping this phony baloney drug war going. And by the way, what does Jeff Sessions seem to have some convenient memory lapse? Prohibition was repealed. Simply attaching another substance and reinstating prohibition under Ronald Reagan's idiot drug war ain't going to fly in a free republic. People doubt that what I'm saying? Go online and type into your YouTube search engine, Geraldo. That's the goofball with the Fox News thing, the mustache. Geraldo, G-E-R-A-L-D-O. Geraldo, Marines, like the guys who went overseas to fight for the country and really ended up doing drug duty. Okay, Geraldo Marines, Afghanistan, and watch it yourself. Geraldo is interviewing Colonel Christmas of the 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, I believe it was, and he says, boy, I know it really rubs you the wrong way to have to protect the opium growers and help them out. And help the CIA ship the opium back into the country. And the colonel laughs. Yeah, it really rubs me the wrong way. He could care less. He says, yeah, well, we continue to provide security and funding and support because this is what they do. This is what they do. So the Marines are guarding the opium fields so the CIA can fly it in. And most of those colonels and majors and captains are going to come back to the country and be state troopers who are going to arrest people for the very same heroin and opium substances that they were protecting, guarding, and growing over in Afghanistan, and getting paid our money to do it all the while. So this idiot drug war has to end, and it has to end, I don't care, by edict or by what, but simply attaching another substance to prohibition and reinstating it unlawfully, I don't give a see how they get away with it. Reagan did it, though. He was a great conservative, man of the people, birch society, and he was really a freedom. B.S. He was a global communist pig. He was the one who instated the drug war. He set up the DEA. He initiated asset forfeiture and seizure, and I'm going to get into that in a minute because I heard some BS flying around the airwaves about that. And, oh, and by the way, it was Reagan who normalized diplomatic relations with the Vatican. Those pimps from the Vicar General and the judicial vicar worked for the Vatican, remember? Okay, and it was Reagan who reinstated initiated the ability and the structure and the legal authority for them to come set up shop and literally take over our court system and the bar. And the bar runs all your legislators. They're all attorneys on the legislators. All these state legislatures are packed, chock full of attorney whores. Judges are attorneys. District attorneys are attorneys, members of the bar. Defense attorneys are members of the bar. And public defenders are also attorney members of the bar. The Masons are the thread that binds, and this is how they've taken over. So I don't want to hear how we have a drug epidemic, and we're going to continue to fight it. The only reason we have a drug epidemic is because idiots like Jeff Sessions are going to say, we got to keep fighting it. It's the police who are to blame for all the violence on the streets and the drug war, because if they weren't hunting drug dealers, the drug dealers wouldn't have a valuable substance to battle over turf and to battle over profit. And to battle over money. And if you can simultaneously ship all the jobs off to China, oh, well, there's no work for people in the inner city. All they have left to do is the drug dealing thing. So all the crime went away from alcohol prohibition as soon as it was repealed. It was gone overnight. Al Capone and all the booze runners were out of business, at least on that. But, of course, they had to find something else for the mafia and the government mafia to make money on. So they said, oh, great. We'll just get this police state infrastructure set up with command and control policing, shoot to kill first, ask questions later, cameras on every corner, innocent until proven guilty, and then we can reinstate prohibition. Won't be for alcohol, but it'll be for something else close to it. Rock on. And Reagan was the one who set that up. And to this day, it's still being this unlawful, illegal, immoral, heinous drug war is still being pimped. Apparently, Jeff Sessions was up in front of Congress today saying we got a drug epidemic. We're going to continue to fight the drug epidemic. Oh, really? You want to see the drug epidemic disappear? End the effing drug war. Bunch of jackasses think that fighting it's going to make things better. That only puts more drug dealers in prison, raises the price because it's going to be harder for people to get their stuff now, and more gangbangers come in and start shooting up the streets, and Mr. and Mrs. American Idiot think that we just got to keep fighting the drug war harder, and that'll make everything better. No, it won't. You repeal prohibition, the crime, and all the profit goes away. As soon as you repeal it, the profit disappears, the crime disappears, the violence disappears. Can I take a breath and while you comment, and then I got a few other things I have to get off my chest here.
Well, I was just going to add to the fact that a lot of that also needs to go one step farther, and that is that FDR had developed a program called HUD, Housing for People, and originally it was supposed to set up for, it was a stopgap. In other words, if you need to have someone and be able to get on your feet for X amount of time, that's what it was for. In other words, if you need to, it was set up for 3 years for you to find a job. It was set up for 5 years for you to, if you went to school. And then you had to leave the deal unless you were not able to work. And that was a very rigid requirement. And the problem is then, though, is that instead of it working out that way, it is taken and what's the one looking for? People live there from generation to generation to generation now, and it's become what we call the hub of a lot of this drug war you're talking about. And so if we took that away of that part of it, we can eliminate a lot of the drug problems as well.
That's right. That's true. It's called institutionalized poverty. It's by design. This is not a bunch of buffoons in government who screwed up and they were well-intentioned in the first place, and then things just went bad and metastasized into a problem. I heard another radio talk show host make the, and they've either got to be working for the enemy or so stupid they should be booted off the air. But I heard the comment that asset forfeiture and seizure was originally set up by the government to strip the big drug dealers of their profits and their empire and all their illegally got gain. And then it just happened to go bad and metastasize down to where the local police departments are able to steal people's money. What an effing lie that is! First of all, it's the U.S. Marshals that manage the asset forfeiture and seizure, and they split the booty with the local police department if they can say, no mention of the Marshals in this guy's diatribe. And by the way, asset forfeiture and seizure was, first of all, it was set up by Reagan. So you see how they use a good conservative-sounding, good conservative-looking president to slip it in? No mention of the U.S. Marshals. And it boggles my mind. Keith, go ahead. Make another comment, Keith.
Well, I think the attitude is that we need to redevelop the law enforcement from the ground up, or at least work on a national level, and that's... There are some people out there trying to develop a program as we speak for called Continental U.S. Marshals, which actually have been around for more years than most people are aware of. They actually came from overseas. We found them here. They were established here in this country in 1764.
Those are
now, wait a minute. That's before the Constitution. That was before. And that's where the self-governing, that's what it was developed with from the self-governing, because they knew they were going to have problems across the country. So they developed them, took that deal, and they developed the Continental Marshals.
Yeah. Let's explain to the listeners what the difference between a Continental Marshal and a corporate Marshal. Right now what you have, people, is a little history. In 1971, the U.S. Post Office was sold to a foreign entity and privatized, and along with the U.S. Marshals, because those two are basically constitutionally allowed, the only constitutionally allowed entities and agencies, and at that point, the U.S. Post Office became the U.S. Postal Service, and the U.S. Marshals became the U.S. Marshals Service. And that little extra word there was not put in by, it just doesn't happen to be a happenstance thing. That's their, that's your private title. When you call the U.S. Marshals, it says, press 1 for witness protection program. Press 2 for judicial security detail. Press 3 for asset forfeiture and seizure. They're making a business out of it. And by the way, asset forfeiture and seizure was not set up to strip the big drug dealers of their empire, and then it just happened to get down to the little guy, and now we're all suffering under that. It was set up that way from the beginning. How stupid and delusional can you be to think that the government was really well-intentioned, you know, and they didn't know that the little guy was going to end up being the victim of asset forfeiture and seizure. They just did it to take down the big drug lords and the big drug barons, and it was really, you know, a well-intentioned thing. And no, they knew ahead of time that it was going to be, that it was designed to go after the little guy. They just have to bring in a Trojan horse to sell it to American idiot who believes that, wow, yeah, really, oh, this is going to be good, man. We're going to have asset forfeiture, and we can take down all these big drug lords by taking all their profits. And that was never set up to go after the drug lords and the drug barons because they're intimately involved with the CIA anyway. That was the selling feature. That was the marketing ploy, the marketing scam. That was Madison Avenue. That's how you put it over on people. Yeah, here's your great thing we're going to do now and have a new law. And it's only going to go like the IRS was only going to be for the wealthiest 1%. Now look at it. They knew ahead of time it wasn't going to be just for the wealthiest 1%. And whoops, it happened to, now the middle class is suffering. Oh, asset forfeiture and seizure was just set up for the big drug lords. Whoops. And then now the local police are able to steal people. No. The whole plan was orchestrated from the beginning to go after the little guy, the middle class, the average American, the 200 to 300 million people who own firearms that are going to defend their freedom and their private property. So asset forfeiture and seizure is doing exactly what it was supposed to do from the get-go on day one, managed by the U.S. marsupials and not your local police department. They just happen to get a share of the profit for being the lowest level executioners to get paid real well. Because they knew right from these people who set up asset forfeiture and seizure under Reagan, with Reagan, by Reagan's signature, they knew exactly what this was. This was eventually in about 20 or 30 years going to get the little guy in a position where the police, local police, would feel comfortable just stealing his money. And people don't come from Canada into upstate New York to travel anymore. Because the local police will pull them over and they have some money. They're traveling. They're on vacation. They're going to have a couple of grand in their pocket or at least a couple hundred. The police just steal it. Asset forfeiture, seizure, our money now. You want it? You got to prove you got it this way or you got to prove how you got it. Once again, guilty until proven innocent. So here's how the drug war kills middle America. Here's how asset forfeiture and seizure, set up by that great conservative Ronald Reagan, kills middle America, kills freedom, destroys people's lives. Packs the prison full of nonviolent offenders like Tom LaGuevara. So we have a giant prison industry society. It's worse than Nazi Germany. Way worse. The Germans treated their people way better than our government and our local executioners are treating us. At least they said papers, please. Now the cops just come in and say, let me see your ID. Let me see your license and registration. I mean, at least the Germans were polite. So it's absolutely disgusting. And people in this movement better get their head out of their rear end and start telling the truth. This is a progressive liberal agenda. This is a Vatican agenda. This is a global, tyrannical, very ancient agenda. This is nothing new. This is not a bunch of liberals and lefties. Those are the useful idiots that prop it up. I know they're out there. But the real shot callers are not Soros and Clinton and Bush and Podesta. By the way, it's the Vatican. And by the way, whatever happened to Alberto Gonzalez? Why isn't Jeff Sessions worried about prosecuting him and opening cases and fighting that epidemic problem of torture? Alberto Gonzalez got up in front of Congress and said, yeah, we, with his little soft-spoken affectation, they always have soft, like George Bush Sr. and Alberto Gonzalez and Harry Reid and all these mealy-mouthed, middly-mush morons who come forward and say, yeah, we should be able to torture children to get confessions from their parents if they're a high-level military officer. We need to have that authority to be able to torture their child in front of them to get a confession from the Iraqi generals. Right, Iraq, that country that we supported, we sponsored, we set up, and then so we could have an excuse later to go invade them, and now they want to torture little children in front of their parents if they're connected. And that's what Alberto Gonzalez, why is he not being brought up on major, dragged out of his house by his ear and hanged from the nearest gallows, along with Michael Chertoff and George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney? Whatever happened to them? I'm getting this really disturbing knowledge here. It's looking very much like that this Trump team is going to be a CYA rear guard covering fire. So Bush, Cheney, Rummy, Giuliani, Chertoff, Alberto Gonzalez, all these torturers, all the people who set up Hillary, Podesta, and all with their empire. The empire wasn't set up. Clintons are nothing. Clintons are hired help by the Republican establishment, who's owned by the banking establishment. So I mean, going after the Democrats, right? That ain't enough. That ain't even a start. That's almost the last thing you should do. You want to take down the real shot callers? Go after the previous administrations that presided over 9/11. They used false flag terror to terrify the American people. How many times did Rudolph Giuliani say, terror, terror, the terrorists, terrorism, terrorism. We got to fight the terrorists. There's terror everywhere. Terror, terrorism. He's the terrorist. And he's good buddies with Donald Trump, and he's making comments on the radio now, trying to act like he's the guy who's going to comment on Sessions. And Sessions is up there pimping the drug war, and he's going to obey all the abortion laws because it is the law, and we got to respect the law. Oh, really? If the law commits murder, we had the same problem with the Germans. Did Jeff Sessions just graduate from his Gestapo University? I mean, we had the same problem. We got to respect the law. The Reichstag passed this law. Hitler signed it into law. The people voted for this. This was all approved by the Reichstag. So it's the law. Round them up. Everybody, send them to the death camps if they're not like us. If we can, drop a few bombs and put a false flag on it and say, oh, look at what happened. You see, aren't you people scared now? Give us more power. Give us more money. Give us more. Make the military bigger. Yeah, I heard another media prostitute on one of the alternative media claiming to be a good conservative. Oh, we got to make the military bigger. A woman. We got to make the military bigger. And because in the end, that's the only thing that's going to really, we got to put more money into the military, she was saying. And actually said, we got to put more money into the military. Lockheed Martin alone, one corporation, and this came from the chief financial officer of Lockheed Martin out of his own mouth on Federal News Radio, AM 1500. I heard him say it. And he said, bragging that Lockheed Martin gets $17 billion, B as in boy, I-L-L-I-O-N. Do you know how much money that is, people? Every month. Not every year. Every month. That's 17,000 duffel bags with $1 million in every one of them. Every 4 weeks. Now, are you telling me that can't be cut? We can. Oh, Rand Paul. Oh, if we cut the military by 10% every year, that's not going to do it, so we got to look elsewhere. Oh, wait a minute. We could cut the military by 70 to 80% without cutting any staff or firing anybody. Just start going in there and start chopping contracts out of Lockheed Martin to make stuff that we don't need, stuff that's junk, stuff to replace other stuff that still works. I know we got a break. I'm going to continue my rant on the other side. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Keith Jones on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite, A seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. You're listening to Resurrect the Republic. I'm sitting in for Tom LaCavara. Mike, I'm going to ask you if you could begin to pull up the clip with Obushma funding ISIS.
Was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
Lovely. Lovely. That's what happens when you when we trust our government and trust that one political party is going to save us from the other one without major, I don't want to use the word change, restoration. I'm seeing a number of things woefully lacking. Once again, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer on Resurrect the Republic. I'm seeing some things that are woefully lacking from the Trump plan. How do I put this? If the enemy were to put someone forth that would do four or five things, everything else wouldn't matter. If they could keep the drug war going, if they could make the military bigger and put more money in the hands of the military-industrial complex, both things I'm seeing this administration want to do, if you could keep the title to people's private property, their home, their land, their farm, in the hands of the county clerk, and not be able to, and they give us all a deed. And if you get, you keep the county government, where you have all your local connections and local underlings all belonging to that same club called the Masons. If you can keep the drug war going, keep the military money, $17 billion every month into Lockheed Martin alone. If you keep the private property titles in the hands of the county clerk and give everybody a deed and charge them rent on property that they own free and clear, called property taxes, in a country that was founded on a tax revolution and private property rights. How absurd is that? And there was one other thing. Military, bigger, drug war continued. Oh, my favorite one. If you can keep prosecutors like Jeff Sessions, and I want to know how many prosecutions he did in his career, where he claimed fraudulently that the state or society or some other fictitious entity could somehow be a victim. I want to know how many cases he prosecuted that actually had a living man or a woman victimized. Somebody got raped or killed. Okay, we need somebody to bring a presentment, and I would argue you still don't need a prosecutor. You only really need a citizen's grand jury in your county, a sheriff who does the investigation and brings the presentment to the grand jury, and a jury foreman. And if you had a judge, they should only be a referee, not running through the aisles like Judge Craig Duran in New York, threatening people that they better apply the law like he says they should, or else. Okay, so you keep the money going to the military, you keep the drug war going, and all those intelligence agencies are living off drugs. They're not getting enough money from Congress to go rape kids and do all this bad stuff they're doing, and they are doing very bad things. They run drugs. CIA is the biggest drug. Look at the interview on Morton Downey Jr. with Bo Greitz. Bo Greitz was the most decorated Green Beret in history. He, a decent guy. Yeah, I believe he was the guy who mediated the standoff with the Freemen in Montana years ago. He's an amazing man, and he went back to Vietnam on a prisoner. He was looking for POWs. And he met with a general, I think it was General Khun Sa of the North Vietnamese Army. And they didn't have any POWs to give to Bo Greitz. Greitz brings up the drug running and says, I understand there's some heroin. Do you really have to do that? And basically General Khun Sa said, yeah, we're about to ship 900 tons of heroin or opium from the Golden Triangle to Washington. And I'll skip this shipment for you, Mr. Greitz, because I respect you. But he said, I'm going to also give all my connections in the White House and the State Department. It's online if you find it. Watch it. it's not very long. And he spells right out how the government's the biggest drug runner in the world. So you keep the intelligence agencies going. You keep the money going into the dark black projects of the government that can't get funded by Congress. So keep the military pumping with money. Keep the drug war up and running. Keep the title of your property at the county clerk and get a deed. And claim that the state is a victim, that somehow the fictitious entity, and keep, of course, the judicial vicar and keep the vicar general thing. Quiet. Lips are sealed on that. How many other radio talk shows do you hear about the vicar general and the judicial vicar? And these are real people who have real power over the court. I've proved my case many times. I watched them get appointed everything by the surrogate courts. So if they could keep that one quiet, that's the bonus number five. And when they get to four or five, like Kennedy was killed, he was a multiple things. He's going to issue currency by the Treasury instead of the private bank. He's going to shut down the CIA. He was going to end the Vietnam War. He was going to release the names of the 15 families. He had a plan. And they got him. But if the person after him had guts like he did, we'd win this overnight. So all it takes is two people with guts. Keith, you want to make some comments?
Well, I'm just going to go back to a couple of things earlier, even before you break. A, number one, was the part of the reason why the marshals were developed even was because with the post office, they did all of the letter carriers and transferred money and everything else on horseback. And so the marshals were originally formed to help track down all the bad guys. Well, then they came up with the stagecoaches, and it's interesting that everyone sees, if you watch the mobile program, you see Wells Fargo were the ones that had the stagecoaches. Well, they're actually the ones who also developed the horseback. But it was actually a group called Abbott Downing that were actually the ones who were the ones behind the scenes and all that, okay? But from there, let's jump up to what you were talking about as far as the attorneys and all. People have got to wake it up or understand, if you go back to 1775, when the American Bar Association was founded, it states right in their deal that they have no jurisdiction in the United States of America. And if we start making this clear to them, somewhere they're going to wake up to reality, I hope. Okay? First thing. The second thing, you mentioned IRS. If you start stirring, you'll find out they're the ones who own the IRS. Because they're under, what? The monarchy. It's a vicious circle. The monarchy, Vatican, lawyers, IRS. I mean, it keeps going around and around. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to sit down and figure out who's got control of what, and sit down and say, okay, this is where the self-governing counties comes in. So part is that they hands off of this part, folks. This is not America. This is America, not London. This is not the Vatican. This is America. We have our own country, and you've got to come to a place where realize that they've got to take and get their hands off. You mentioned started talking about the court and all, and under British there is another whole setup for common law, and it's really, as far as I'm concerned, a really not the best setup. But if you go to the English or what we call American common law, it's very simple. You have a grand jury. They meet in private. They decide if there's charges to do. They do no bill or no bill. If there's a bill, the indictment's there. They do the warrant. The marshals or sheriff or the constable and his militia, they go and do the what they do for the warrant. Okay, then from there you have a trial. And under common law, you don't have this thing to be stretched out for years and years, because and if you study common law, you'll find there's only about 12 books of law, and that's it. It's very simple, very easy, and I'm going to say a word that's a couple words here. It's almost non-existent in this country. It's called common sense. Okay? And so what happens is, a lot of the common law is common sense, okay? So what happens is you have a jury, okay? And the jury is actually the prosecution. Anyone in the jury has the right to ask either to accuse the witnesses, and they also have their witnesses to sit there and ask questions. You have a law counsel, a person that has studied law. You don't have to go to school. Because common law, again, like I said, I hate saying it again, common sense, okay, a lot of it. The judge is there only as a mediator. He's not able to try to say anything to sway the jury, okay? If he doesn't understand something, he can ask the person to explain it, but that's as far as he can go. Other beyond that, when they get done with their closing arguments, he can make the comment to the jury saying, you know, now we need to adjourn, and you guys do your deal. Okay, they go back to this question, and they decide you're guilty or not guilty. They come back that they're guilty. The judge can sit there and say, okay. And in common law, there's not this long stretch out from the time you're charged with being guilty to sentencing. They can turn around and say, okay, boy, we're going to give you a week. A week and say, you know, you're going to have, we're going to do the sentencing, okay? And when they do the sentencing, the same process. And when they actually sit down and say, okay, this is your sentence, it's not this long deal where the attorneys have to sit here and find every little loophole of technical, all this other stuff.
Well, Keith,
they can sit down and say, okay, it's a week from tomorrow, it's your sentencing.
You're exactly right, but it's way worse than that. It's the whole thing.
from the very beginning. Tom hasn't even had gotten bail yet.
Yeah, I know, and that's why we have to learn how to start staying up, learning the law, not the law, it's their law, and learning how to use it against themselves.
That is helpful. If you can do that, I encourage people to do that. If you can use the statutes, codes, rules, and regulations against their, then do it. I'll use all the tools in the box. But, you know, I agree with you, Keith. This time for sentencing is ridiculous. It's months. I watched Shane Bennett be waiting. The district attorney said, oh, I'm going to be gone that weekend. They had to make it the next month. You end up waiting 2 months for sentencing. And that's absurd. It's weird. But I talk to people on the inside, and they say that's called what's called the term that they use is protracting. And that's what it's an intent. Yeah. Why would they want to protract a case? Because every single case that goes through the courts, including the small ones, are bonded.
Yeah. Well, let's
and they make interest on the bond. If the longer they can drag it out. Go ahead, Keith.
If let's look at the people they put on death row. From the time they do the sentencing to the time they actually do the execution could be anything from 12 to 14 years. Now, what takes that much time unless attorneys are sitting there trying to find out every little technicality that can find a loophole to get that charge dropped. So what they can do is re-bring in its charges again in a different way and make more money.
Yep.
It's real simple.
Every case has what's called a performance and payment bond on that case. And when you go into court, you want to ask, basically, be respectful, but ask two questions. Is this a tort claim? Because there has to be a victim. That would be under common law. The state can't claim to be a victim because it's a fictitious entity, and that would be fraud upon the court. Or is this a commercial action? In which case, I'll need to see your performance and payment bonds.
Well, if you want to tick them off even more, you ask a simple question. Three questions, okay? I like a copy of your bond. I like a copy of your oath of office. And, oh, by the way, just for fun, I need a copy of your 1040 form for this trial.
Well, and also, Keith, let me clear up something for people here. There's two bonds we're talking about here. There's two issues that Keith just brought up another issue. In any initial contact with a public officer, whether it's a cop, a judge, a sheriff, a clerk, a code enforcement officer, a dog catcher, you know, somebody writing tickets, anything, DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, any agency, first thing you're not going to get it from them at the time, so don't give them a bunch of grief on the spot and expect to get results. It'll just be confrontation, and they're looking for that, so they can use a force where none was needed. So, but after the initial respectful, go with the program, go with the flow, and then when you get back out, you know, to a position where you get to your county clerk, and you take the name, you ask the county clerk very nicely for a copy of the oath and bond for whoever you encountered. Now, in New York, it's actually in the, it's called the New York Codes, Rules, and, what is it? No, it's Public Officers Law 30.1.H, I think. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's the Public Officers Law, and it's Section 30, and I believe it's 1H. And it says, all public officers, so this is New York law, says all public officers shall, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the quote in front of me, but it says all public officers shall file an oath and a bond, and the oath is their oath to when they get sworn in, and the bond is an insurance policy in case they do something corrupt or, you know, that they're liable for. And it says shall file an oath and bond with the county or town in which they're doing business within 30 days of commencement of their term. So that means once they're sworn in, they got a month to go out and get a bond on their actions as a public officer. And the statute goes on to say if the bond is not filed within 30 days of commencement, or failure to file the bond will cause the position to be vacant. So it actually says their position, whatever they were in after that month, is vacated after 30 days if they don't have that oath and bond filed with the county clerk or with the town. Usually the cops, almost all of them are with the county. Occasionally you may have to go to your town if it's like a code enforcement officer that's specific to your small town. They may not file it with the county. They may have it with the town. But get a copy. Be nice. Go down
and they'll give you a copy. They might charge you a couple of pennies for it. We just recently had a judge have to recuse himself and set the case aside to a different court, which was perfect because that court was friendly to the situation for the accused, and it's going to be a much better situation without this initial judge. But we challenged him on an oath that expired in 2013, and it's now like when it was 2016 at the time. This was just this past late fall, early winter here. I believe it was in November, and he, you know, we got a copy of his oath from the county clerk, his bond, and it had expired in 2013, and we called him on it. We, in writing, we just said, you know, your oath and bond expired pursuant to public officer's law. Your position is vacant, and you're operating as a private individual. This is a malicious prosecution, and we cited a quote, you know, the definition of malicious. There's a statute that you can sue for malicious prosecution, so it's good to look that up in every jurisdiction, see what the statutes are for malicious prosecution, and we cited that. And, you know, rules of procedure 12B, which says you don't have jurisdiction. Always challenge the jurisdiction, just because if you have to go to a higher court in appeals, they want to see that you challenge the jurisdiction. They want to see that you objected when the judge said something that you didn't like. You say, I object to that, sir, and it's not, they're not going to throw you in jail and contempt you for that if you don't get too out of hand. That's what you're supposed to do. I object to that decision, and they'll say, duly noted, blah, blah, blah. So, but there's certain, and you usually do have a better chance on an appeals court than you do with the lower courts. The lower courts just ram them through. And they know most people aren't going to appeal. So they get away with all kinds of stuff, and they are, and I've watched them do it. So anyway, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Keith Jones in Kansas, and we thank you for joining us tonight. Please support the talk show hosts that you hear on this network, and if you choose to support us, resurrecttherepublic.com or courtroomwatch.org. That's resurrecttherepublic.com, and Eric's presence is courtroomwatch.org. So please support these if you value this information. We need your help to keep it going. That's the bottom line. Thanks, Ed. Everybody who wants to participate tonight can call 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So we encourage you to participate in tonight's show. This show stands on 9416, which says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Who are the workers of iniquity? In a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. That's recent history, very recent history, way after World War II. And as I said during the previous half hour, I still get reports from people who say, "I can't believe it, I just got a letter from Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York, asking me to come back in because I was a victim of radiation testing when I was a child, and they'd like to do some follow-up studies on me." I mean, it's ungodly. And this community is so asleep that they decide to get away with it. So, and I wanted to remind people, asset forfeiture and seizure was never set up to take the property from the big drug dealers and the lower drug lords and the drug barons and the international cartels and strip them of their ill-gotten wealth. That was the Trojan horse. That was the scam that they perpetrated on us through their Madison Avenue prostitutes. It was set up to get the little guy in the end. Oh, they knew it might take 10 or 15 years for it to metastasize out and really become pervasive at a local level where your local police do steal money. They're doing it right here in New York. Many people from Canada are not coming into Vermont and New York State because they're scared of the police. That's not my fault. Don't anybody blame me saying I'm anti-cop or criticizing the police. They need to be criticized. It's the numbers say it. It's the most corrupt profession in the world. Why? Because of the drug war. And they can get bought off really easy. But you all remember the testimony in front of Congress with the NYPD officers who said they were snorting lines of cocaine off the dashboards of their car? And they admitted it in congressional testimony. I watched it happen. So it's ungodly what's going on, and we need to hold the executioners accountable. This is how Germany got away with the entire thing. No matter how many people you think got exterminated in World War II, a whole bunch of people got exterminated in World War II. By all sides, yes, and I know about Wall Street and the United States corporations and
big oil companies and IBM funding Hitler and building the database, databasing machines. I know about all the Wall Street and the rise of Hitler. I believe there's is a good book people can read, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. So, you know, I know about all that. And so let's not think that it drives me bananas when I hear people insinuate that this tyranny was just well-intentioned stuff that went bad. No, it wasn't. The orchestrators knew exactly that forfeiture and seizure would eventually rip off hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of the little guy who just has a few thousand dollars in their pocket because they're going to buy a car, or they're traveling somewhere for a week or two on vacation, and they don't want to have their car get rejected at the worst time, which always happens. Who would want to put their trust in an idiot debit or credit card? You know, it's failing at the wrong moment. Just time after time, people with plenty of money and credit get rejected because of a technical difficulty. So, you know, people want to carry cash. So be it. And now the local police, managed by the U.S. Marshals Service, corporate marshals as opposed to the Continental Marshals that Keith was talking about before. There's Continental Marshals who are constitutional common law marshals, a real marshal that serves the best interest of the people, protect and serve. And then there's corporate prostitutes whose main business now is asset forfeiture and seizure. And they actually have a prompt when you call the U.S. Marshals office at the federal building for asset forfeiture and seizure, press 4. Beep. Okay, they're ripping. And the court loves it. The court helps them. The court adjudicates all these seizures. Boop, boop, boop. And they split the money up with the marshals, service, corporate marshals. And it's a big business. It's a mafia with a badge. It really is. So, and the excuse, I'm just doing my job, doesn't fly. It didn't work for the Germans. It's not going to work for here. It didn't work for the Nazis. It doesn't work for anyone. It's not a valid excuse. They're just doing their job. Sorry, it's not incumbent upon the American people to live with the boot on their throat so somebody else could have a job. That's not a fair trade-off. Sorry, I'm not conceding that one. Nobody should. It's obscene. Go get another job or be unemployed, but don't go out persecuting people and running around with a badge, pulling people over at gunpoint, basically enforcing nothing more than contract law on them at the point of a gun, and then claiming that somehow society is a victim. Once again, society and the state is a fictitious entity. It does not exist except in the mind. Unless there's a living man or woman who is actually harmed or injured, there can be no prosecution, because other than that, it's only a persecution. And I'm sick of prosecutors and people in the system constantly coming forward saying they're going to put things right for us. Anybody who claims the state can be a victim is committing treason, because the bar is not loyal to the United States of America.
Can I end the fuel for that fire?
Please do.
That's why I made the comment earlier about if you go ask for their bond, their oath. And the third one is ask for the 1040 form.
Yeah,
in other words, that's what they get now.
We're going to pick that up on the other side.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.